In today's Mishnah, we learn the third and fourth Mishnah from the eighth Perek of Masechta Bechorot. The Mishnah begins, Mishalo Bikra Ishto V'Yarda Shnei Zecharim. So we're dealing with a case with a woman who has not had children, and she gave birth to two males, but they got mixed up, meaning one is a Bechor, one is not. Nonetheless, Mishnah says, well, no ten chamesh slayim lakoen, since one of the children required this pidyon haben, you have to give these five slayim, these five coins to the Kohen. However, met echad mehem tov shloshim yom, if one of these boys unfortunately died within 30 days, such that if it was the Bechor, you wouldn't be chayv to do pidyon haben. Mishnah says, now ha'av patur, the father is exempt. That is because there's now a suffix, a doubt remaining whether the remaining child requires pidyon haben, because it might not actually be the firstborn. And when it comes to pidyon haben, it's not like redeeming something which is hektish. So if, until this child has been redeemed, he has sort of glows. Rather, no, it's a matana, a gift that's required to give the kohen in the case where one has a firstborn. And since in this situation there's a suffix, there's a doubt whether the father is obligated to give this money to the kohen, he can say to him, well, prove to me that this child that I have left is the firstborn, and then I'll give you the money. Well, since a kohen cannot do that, he is exempt. Let's continue. Meta'av v'abanim kayamim. So back to the first case where the two sons are born, and we don't know which was the firstborn, these twins, and the father then passed away. The question is, do they have to do pidyon haben or not? So Rabbi Meir says, im natnu, if they gave the five slaim from the Yerusha, from the estate, ad shelo chalku, prior to dividing the Yerusha, then natnu, meaning what they did was correct, because the estate is meshu'badim, meaning there is a lien, if you like, on the estate, to pay this debt, the debt to the Kohen, which is the amount, this five slaim, this the pidyon haben. However, im lav, if they already divided the estate, then we say they're pturim, they're exempt. Why is that? That is because we are assuming two different things, of which the Rebbe Yehuda is going to disagree. One is that when they divide their estate, the sons are considered like lekuchot, like purchasers. Secondly, we say that the pidyon haben is like a mal ve'alpeh, it's a similar legal status to a verbal loan. And a verbal loan cannot be collected from people who have purchased, meaning for property that has been purchased by the person who owes the money. So therefore, the Kohen cannot come to these boys and say, well, from one of you, both of you together, I need to collect my money. However, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, nitchayev nechasim. Already the estate is chayev. Now, why is that? In other words, there's two ways to really understand this. One is the brothers are considered not like purchasers, but yorshim. So there's still a legal claim on the estate or all the property that they've taken. And despite the fact it might have a status of a verbal loan or same legal force as a verbal loan, well, that can be collected from yorshim. Another understanding is it's not the case, meaning they can define them as lukuchot, but this chiyuv obligation, the Torah, is like a contractual loan, and therefore you can claim it from even the lukuchot. So since it's a debt owed by the father, despite the fact they've already divided the estate, there's still a claim on that estate. The kohen can say, well, you have to, your father owed me five slaim, you've got to give it to me. However, what happens if the mother gave birth to twins, zachar and nekevah, we don't know which one came first, then in kan the kohen klum, because again, there's a doubt whether there's even obligation. Let's continue. Shnei nashim, if the man had two wives, shelo bikra, neither of them had children. Yaldu shnei zecharim, this is similar to the Mishnah we just learned, and they had two boys. And nit arvu, and they got mixed. Well, since they're both firstborns, not ten eser slaim lakoin, he has to pay the double amount, meaning the price for two pidyon haben, I think it is, because both are considered firstborns. So Mishnah says, what happens, met achad mehem betoch shloshim, if one of the boys died within 30 days? Mishnah says, im lakoin echad natan, if the 10 slaim were given to one kohen, then that kohen has to yachzir, or has to return the 5 slaim. If, however, he decided to honor two different kohenim, im l'shnoyen kohenim, he gave 5 to one and 5 to the other, then he cannot claim his money back. Ein yachol lotzi mi'adam, he cannot claim it back, because each kohen can say, well, prove it to me that the pinyon you did and the money you gave to me was for the one that passed away. Obviously, it's important in this case to say that he didn't ahead of time say, the pinyon I'm doing now is for this child, and the pinyon I'm doing for you is for that child. What happens if he gave birth to, the two wives gave birth to a zachar and a kavar, male or female, or shnei zacharim, or amongst these two wives they gave birth to two boys and one girl? And it's possible that two boys came from one birth. But we don't know who the mothers are of each of these children. We don't know when the twins, if it was two boys or it was two girls. And also in those cases, since there's certainly, no matter which way you want to work out the probabilities, or possibilities, I should say. One is definitely Bechor, then he has to Noten Chamesh Slaim LaKohen. What if the children that were born were Shtei Nekavot VeZachar, or Shnei Zcharim u'Shtei Nekavot, or two boys and two girls? Since it's possible that the first born from each of these wives was a girl, then again there's a suffix whether any of them is Bechor, so Ein Kan LaKohen Klom, you don't have to give a coin anything at all. Achad Bikra v'Achad Lo Bikra. He had two wives again, one's given birth, and one had already given birth before, and one has not given birth. The Yaldu Shnei Zcharim, and two boys were born, and they got mixed up. One of them is clearly the Bechor, we just don't know which one it is again. Noten Chamesh Slaim LaKohen, he clearly has to do Pidyon Bechor, because he has a Bechor, yeah, one of his children is a Bechor, so he has to do Pidyon Bechor. Once again, Met Achad Mehem B'Drosh Shoshimif, however, one died unfortunately within 30 days. Then, Ha'av Patur, the father is exempt, because he can say, prove to me that it wasn't the Bechor that died first, and since the Kohen cannot do so, well, he is exempt from giving these Chamesh Slaim. Met Ha'av V'Abinim Kaimim. What if in this situation these two boys got mixed up? From the two wives, one who had given birth, one who hadn't. And both survived, they're both alive, but the father unfortunately passed away. So again, we find the similar debate as we saw in the previous mission, and the explanation is going to be pretty much the same. Rav Meir says, Im Natnu Ad Shelo Chakul, if the state hadn't been divided up and they paid up, that is correct, because there was already obligation on the state to pay. V'im Lav Ad Shelo Natnu, we said, V'im Lav, if not, and they divided the state, we say Peturim, for the reason we said before, that they're considered Lekuchot, they're considered purchases, and the obligation is considered Milvar Peh, as it has the legal strength of a verbal loan, and therefore they cannot claim it. And Behuda says, no, Nidchayvu Nechasim, even if they divided the state, they're still obligated to pay that debt of 5 Slaim to the Kohen, for one of the two reasons we explained in the previous Mishnah. Zachar Nekava, if in this situation we have two wives, one's given birth and one has not given birth before, and they both give birth to a child each. One gave birth to a Zachar, the other one gave to Nekeva, but we don't know who is who. Since it's possible that the Nekeva, the girl, is the firstborn from the wife who had not given birth, but it's equally possible it's the other way around, we've got a Safek, we've got a doubt whether the boy is considered firstborn or not. Therefore, once again, in a case of a Safek, Ein kan lekohen klum, the kohen cannot claim anything, because once again, amatzi mechavora la varaya, the burden of proof is placed on the kohen to prove that that boy was really the firstborn. So he cannot do so, he has no financial claim. Those are the Mishnah today.